Once again, I want to wish everyone, all our moms, a happy Mother's Day. And I remember when my wife first became a mom and I first became a dad. So I hope I don't steal my wife's thunder as I share this story. But it was back on March the 1st, 2001, and our first child, Pamela, was overdue, and so we decided to induce. And so that was March the 1st, 2001. However, at 5 a.m. that morning, I awoke, probably because of anxiety, and promptly headed to the toilet and used the bathroom. 10 minutes later, I used the bathroom again. 10 minutes later, I used the bathroom again. 10 minutes later, I used the bathroom again. 6 times in 1 hour, I used the toilet because of anxiety of becoming a parent for the very first time. So we headed to the hospital. It was probably around 7 a.m. that morning. Vicky checked in, got her hospital room, her medical record number, and promptly sat in the bed to start the labor process. And I, on the other hand, was there, and I approached the nurse. La douza. You know, I got a stomach ache. And the nurse told me, said, okay, Shansheng, you know, why don't you just go see the doctor? And so I, as my wife was there, I also went and registered, and I got a medical record number, and I saw the doctor, and the person diagnosed me as acute gastroenteritis, gave me some antibiotics and fever medicine and rehydrating medicine. And as I returned to the hospital labor room of my wife, I said, honey, I'm sorry, I can't help you out today. You know, you just be in the bed, and I'm going to go lay down here on the sofa. And so she was lying on the hospital bed. I was lying on the sofa. And so for the whole hours, I think it was about 8 hours of labor, my wife was there doing it all by herself, and I was just lying down. And right before Pamela came out, the midwife came in and said, Wei, take a shower, get up, and get ready to cut the cord. And so that's what I did. I woke up, I showered, and as Pamela came out, I cut the cord, and we were parents. My wife became a mom. So, praise the Lord. It was an epic day. An epic day in our lives. And last week, I shared with you that one of the epic days in our lives was getting married, and certainly a second or one of these as important or epic days in our lives was when we first became parents. And we are going through our study of Genesis, seeking to understand how to become a people of destiny. And last week we shared and talked about the epic day in the life of Israel as the Passover and the Exodus. And today we want to look at the second epic day, if you will, in the community, in the nation, in the life of Israel. And that is found in Exodus chapter 14. So turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Exodus chapter 14. We want to look at the particulars of the epic day. And as we look at it, we're still asking the question, what can we learn that will enable us to become the people of destiny that God wants us to be? So let's look at Exodus chapter 14. In chapter 13, after the Passover and the Exodus event, The Lord asked them to consecrate the firstborn to him. They reviewed again the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then the Lord created the pillar of cloud and fire to guide the nation. And then coming up to chapter 14, we see in verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Pi Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea in front of Baal Zephon. You shall encamp facing it by the sea. So we're going to the sea. We're going to the Red Sea, most likely. In verse 3, for Pharaoh will say of the people of Israel, they are wandering in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And then in verse 4, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, that I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his host. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, and they did so. So as we look at chapter 14, we see the first part is for God's plan to receive glory. He told the Israelites to turn around, to give the impression that they were lost, that they were wandering in the wilderness, and that as a result, Egypt would pursue them, and then through this pursuit, God would get glory. God would receive honor above all of Egypt's gods. And then in verses 5 through 14, we see that this plan of God worked. God is in control. God is moving the pieces. And so Egypt indeed pursues Israel. We see first that this is what they do in verses 5 to 9. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed toward the people. And they said, what is this that we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his army with him. And they took 600 chosen chariots, the whole host of the Egyptian military. Verse 9, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh so that he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out defiantly or boldly. And then the Egyptians pursued them. And again, the whole military, horses, chariots, horsemen, not only the choice, but the whole military and overtook them and encamped at the sea. So Israel, Egypt pursues. And then in verses 10 to 12, we see the reaction of Israel that they fear. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, is it because there was no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done? And they're complaining. They're probably exaggerating here, because the Egyptians would not have killed the Israelites. They would have probably just recaptured them and enslaved them again. But Israel starts to fear. And then in verses 13 and 14, Moses assures, or Moses comforts, all through this Egyptian pursuit. In verse 13, Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. Verse 14, the Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. So God's plan is for his glory. Egypt pursues. And then we see from 15 to 31 that Israel is protected. We have the plan, we have the pursuit, and then we have the protection. In verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry out to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. And here again, we have, by the way, the first Houston Rockets basketball game in the Bible. Did you know that there's a Houston Rockets basketball game in the Bible? Did you guys know that? I'm making sure you're awake. Well, it's right here. We already saw it earlier in the chapter, but we're going to see it again here in verse 17, because it says, and I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. Okay, I'm sorry, but if you don't know that, James Harden is the best player on the Houston Rockets. Okay, so anyway, we have the first Houston Rockets basketball game here in the Bible. Okay, sorry about that. All right, but I had to wake you up a little bit. Okay, so I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts. Here we go again. The comprehensive nature of it, the totality of it, the magnitude of it, that the God of Israel is greater than the best and the full military of the most powerful nation on earth, Egypt. I will get glory over Pharaoh. And look at the repetition again. His host, his chariots, his horsemen. And verse 18, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh. Here we go again. His chariots and his horsemen. And so in verses 19 to 20, then he moves the pillar of the cloud to separate the two armies. And then in verse 21, we have the epic event starting. Moses stretches out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea. And there's the repetition again. Verse 24, in the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and of cloud looked down on the Egyptian forces. And look how the Lord is acting. He throws the verbs, the Egyptian forces, into a panic. And then in verse 25, look at the verb, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptian says, let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them. And then in verse 26, Moses stretches out again so that the waters come back upon the Egyptians. And look at the repetition, their chariots and their horsemen, the totality, the magnitude of the victory. And Moses stretched his hand out over the sea, verse 27. It returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned, covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh. Again, the repetition. But the people of Israel walked through on dry ground. And then verse 30, the summary. The Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. And Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. So we have the epic event. The Lord delivered Israel. And just to remember again that the great Exodus event, the miraculous, the supernatural event, let's all just let's have these two rows just stand up. These two sections. Would you just stand up? Don't you lie? These two sections. Yes, stand up. See, so the Lord supernaturally, this is what he did. He parted the Red Sea. So to remember the supernatural nature, he parted the Red Sea, and the Israelites walked through. I mean, it was a supernatural event. There were two walls, and then the second part, he put his hand again, and the waters flooded over the Egyptians. So we're not gonna, you guys don't have to attack me like I'm an Egyptian, but you get the point. Okay, thank you. So it was a supernatural event, a supernatural victory, and so as we today learn how to interact with the epic event, let us remember to call on God's power to deliver from our enemies. Call on God's power to deliver from our enemies and our enemies from without. The enemy that was delivered was Egypt. And God delivered Israel from the enemy of Egypt, from an enemy without. And for us today, God delivers us through the power of Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. And most of the times when we think of the oppression in our lives, when we think of the slavery in our lives, we're thinking of the circumstances. And we want God to change our circumstances, to deliver us. So maybe you're having an exam coming up this week in finals, and that's your Egypt that you want deliverance from. You just want God to give you a 100 on the exam. Or maybe you have a presentation to make at work, and you want God to really give you a zinger in that presentation, and it's going to go well. Or maybe it could be a disease, and you want deliverance from your disease or cancer. Or it could be a conflict, a very oppressive coworker or boss or family member, and you want God to change the circumstance. You want deliverance. You want freedom from Egypt and from Pharaoh. And so let us call on God's power to deliver us from the enemies without. And this is a valid application for us today to call upon God's power. And this last week, I was feeling oppression through a personal conflict. I had a personal conflict. And so I was calling upon God. God, please get me out of this conflict, this problem. Help us to work through it. And a couple of days later, the Lord did. He relieved some of the tension, not all, but some of the tension in our relationship. So this is a valid application. However, many times God doesn't only want to change our circumstances. He doesn't want to just fix the relationship, fix the problem, give us that job, get us into that university. But he wants to change us. He wants to change us from within. He wants to change Israel from within. And so my second point for today is simply to claim God's power to deliver from enemies within. It's two simple points today. Call on God's power to deliver from enemies without, whatever it may be. It may be, might not be your job. It might be the job for your child that you really wanted, a job for your child, or for your child to do well on their trumpet audition. But to claim God's power, to call on God's power to deliver from enemies without, but also claim God's power to deliver from enemies within. And God has done that. He can break not only whatever external oppression we are under, but he can break that internal oppression because of the oppression of sin. We learned last week that we are no longer slaves in Egypt. No, we are no longer slaves to sin, right? Romans 6:6-7, because of Jesus' death, the epic day in the life of a Christian, because of Jesus' death, but the second epic day, Jesus' resurrection, we are free from sin. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And anyone who has died has been set free. You've been set free. This theme is all throughout the Bible. Colossians 1:12-13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of, not Egypt, but the dominion of darkness, and brought us into a new kingdom, the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And again, that new power to free us from whatever sin we're struggling with from within is available to us, as found in Ephesians 1:19-22, that when we believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and breaks us free, gives us the power to live a holy life, to be free from the bondage of sin. The immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That power is available to us to live a holy life, and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above Egypt, far above the United States, and all rule and authority, far above demonic forces and Satan and dominion and every other name that is named. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church. So friends, you've been set free. We've been set free. You see, used to be that we were slaves. We were slaves to sin. We were in bondage. And we couldn't even control. Sin had a hold on our lives. It might have been an addiction. It might have been something obvious, like lust or materialism, but we were, approval of men, and we were just a slave. But when Jesus died on the cross, and then He rose again, and we put our faith in Jesus, He broke us free. And so, friends, let us claim our power to defeat the enemies from within. And so it might be something obvious. It might be something obvious like lust. OK, maybe it's pornography and you feel like you're enslaved to pornography. Well, friends, Jesus has given you through the Holy Spirit. He's given you the power to break free from the bondage. Or maybe it's the bondage to compare yourself to others or compare your children to others. That you've been in bondage to this sin. Well, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, and as you put your faith in Him, He breaks us free from that bondage. And so you can, in a sense, drown your sin in the Red Sea. Okay, drown it. Just drown it, because God has defeated that sin. He's defeated that enemy within you. Just throw it into the Red Sea of Jesus' blood. But it might be something obvious, but it might be something more subtle as well. It might be something that is an idol, a good thing that may turn into an idol. And we've been talking about this in our Peacemaker study, because it might be something that's good, such as doing well on your exam or doing well on your job or having good relationships. Is there anything wrong with wanting to do well on your final? But when does that become an idol? When does it become something that you're controlled by? It takes discernment to know. And as we've been studying in Peacemakers, one of the ways that we can know that something good has turned into an idol is if it's a good, legitimate desire, such as to be faithful and do well on our exam that's coming up, but it's turned into a demand, and that I demand that I make the first chair. Or I demand that, you know, that I have this job. So when a desire turns to demand, it could be that it's becoming an idol. Some other questions, that X-ray questions that Ken Sand, the author of Peacemaker, says is it something that I'm thinking about all the time? That I wake up in the morning thinking about that relationship, and I go to sleep at night thinking about that relationship, or how my child is doing? You know, is it something that's consuming my mind? Then perhaps even the well-being of our children has become an idol that we need to break free of and claim God's power. Or if another question he says is that if you fill in the blank, if only, then I will be content and happy. What do you put in that blank? What are you thinking of right now, this morning? If only this, then I will be happy and content. And if it's anything else besides your relationship with Jesus, then perhaps that's becoming an idol in your life. And so my exhortation to us this morning is, let us claim God's power to defeat the enemies from within. What is it? I want us to take some time just to think, what is it that we need freedom from? And as I looked back at the conflict with my friend this last week, I was thinking, you know, part of the problem is that I still really want his approval. It was still really self. I wanted, I was idolizing myself because I craved his approval, and that was inhibiting me from being honest with him about our problem and how he had hurt me. And so I had to, right then, claim God's power. Lord, you have freed me from the approval of men. And as I prepared to go and talk with him, I was claiming my freedom from whatever bondage. Lord, you have freed me from the bondage of needing men's approval. And so whatever it is for you, Lord, you have freed me from my addiction to looking at social media 24 hours a day. You know, what's really going on behind there? But God has given you that freedom and that power. And that's not to say that that's going to take care of it completely. We all know that for an issue such as conflict, just claiming that God has given me freedom to not crave the approval of men, that's just the first step. That there's whole books and counseling that may be involved, but it's at least a first step and a start. And so, friends, right now, I would like for us to just take a few minutes just to ask God, what is it that I need freedom from? And I'm asking you to write something down. What is it that God wants you to experience freedom, liberation through your relationship with Jesus? And I want to invite you, and I'm going to ask Ed just to come and play for us as we think. And just write something down. And then I invite you, as Ed plays on the guitar, to come up and throw your sin into the Red Sea. The sea of Jesus' blood, because he has broken the power of sin. So you can, on a sheet of paper, small scratch sheet of paper, write something down. If you need a pencil, we'll give you a pencil. And ask the Lord, spend some time asking the Lord, what is it that I need freedom from? It might be love of self. It might be the fear of man. It might be an addiction to something that's related to your fear of something. Write it down, and then while the music is playing, I invite you to come up and claim your victory through Jesus. So we'll just take a few minutes. After you've had time to, and you can do this all throughout the week. Whenever you face temptation, you can just claim, Lord, I'm no longer in bondage to this because of Jesus, because of the Holy Spirit in my life. And remember that as you face temptation this week, whatever it may be. After you've written something down, I invite you just to come up and throw it into the orange bucket, which represents the Red Sea, and how just as Jesus, as God, Yahweh, defeated Egypt in the Red Sea and delivered Israel through the Red Sea, so Jesus, for us today, because of his death and resurrection and ascension, those epic days, has delivered us. He's broken the power of sin because the Holy Spirit comes into our lives once we believe in Jesus. So I invite you to come and claim God's power to defeat the enemies from within. Not only to give you that good job, to get you into that good college, the enemies without. Yes, he can do that. He can heal your sickness. He can heal your disease. But he's delivered you from the enemies within. And you can claim that this week, and you can claim it right now. So you come on up. You come on up and throw that bondage into the Red Sea. The Red Sea of Jesus' blood and his resurrection. One more minute, I invite you to come on up and this week as you go back to your school, to your work, to your home, to the church ministries, and you're faced with various temptations, claim God's power that can deliver you from the enemies within. In just a few weeks, some in our congregation will don a cap and gown, and they're going to walk across a stage. And as they walk across that stage, they're going to grab a piece of paper, which isn't the real diploma, but it will signify that after many years of math and science and algebra and physics and history, that finally it's done. It's been finished. And they're free. They're free from the oppression of that teacher and that academic coursework. And friends, when Jesus died on the cross and he rose again, he scored a 100 on that exam so that before God, we can be seen as perfectly righteous. And he broke sin's power by allowing the Holy Spirit to come and live within us. And it will be a commencement. It's a commencement to living a new life as we call unto God to deliver us from the enemies without and claim God's power to deliver us from the enemies within. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for delivering your people. You delivered Israel from the clutches of Pharaoh in Egypt. And you have delivered us from the penalty and the power of sin. And one day from the presence of sin and glory we will be because of Jesus' epic day of his death. And then his resurrection and his ascension. So Lord, help us this week to call upon you to claim your power that can deliver us from the enemies in Jesus' name.